Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What is baptism? There are two answers, two broad categories into which all the different Christian understandings of baptism neatly fit. One answer says baptism is me for God, what I do for God in order to show him my commitment to the faith that I have made my own. This follows one's decision to accept Jesus into his heart, a prayer to give his life over to Jesus or something like that, and then views baptism as sort of the culmination of that dedication of oneself to God. You give yourself to God and are thereby reborn, and then you are baptized to show the seriousness of your commitment. The phrase, the sort of catchphrase that intends to confess this understanding of baptism, they say, baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. Don't raise your hand if you've heard that. The other broad category answer to what is baptism is that baptism is God for me. That is, it is his work done to me and for me. It's not something I do to him or bring to him, but it's his work to me. The catechism clearly comes down in one of those two categories. What is baptism? The catechism asks. Baptism is not just plain water, though the water is nothing spectacular. We get it right out of the tap in the kitchen, put it in the ewer, and bring it to the bowl in the font for baptism. It comes straight from O'Fallon City Water, which they purchased from Illinois American Water, which somehow has made its way all the way from the mighty Mississippi. Been filtered a few times before it gets here, but it's just water, plain ordinary water. You don't have to load up your trunk at the church supply warehouse and get cases of holy water or baptism water. Baptism is, in fact, plain water. But the catechism says it's not just plain water. It's plain water to which the Word of God has been added. There's the distinction. God has added not just one kind of word, but two kinds of words to the water of baptism. One is his command, which you hear Jesus give at the close of the gospel according to St. Matthew, our gospel reading for tonight, when he says he sends out his apostles and he commands them, make disciples. Wherever you go, make disciples by means of baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Jesus commands baptism. It is not optional for the ordinary Christian, given an ordinary Christian life, not perhaps a deathbed conversion, but a Christian who lives an ordinary life with faith toward God, baptism is not optional. It is required. But there is a second word that God attaches to baptism. That is, his word of promise. So, what does God promise to do in baptism? If we constrain ourselves to only saying things about baptism that the New Testament says about baptism, we clearly find ourselves in one of those answers, what is baptism? It is not, because Scripture never speaks this way, it is not me for God. Baptism is always God for me, his work to me and for me, to wit. In Acts chapter 2, after Peter's somewhat law-heavy Pentecost sermon, the crowd is struck to the heart, St. Luke records, and so they ask the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter answers, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. And this promise, that is forgiveness and the Holy Spirit, this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. God promises that in baptism, He forgives your sin and He gives to you His Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter 3, which you heard as our epistle reading tonight, St. Peter says baptism corresponds to the flood, which you heard in the Old Testament reading tonight. The flood was a real and historic event. St. Peter says, in the flood, God saved 8 people in all, Noah, his 3 sons, and their 4 wives together. 8 people are saved in the flood that destroyed all other living beings on earth. Only the animals the Lord brought in by pairs, and the clean animals of which He brought in 7 pairs, and 8 human beings in all, are spared God's wrath in the flood. Is the water of the flood wrath or mercy? Depends who you are. If you're inside the ark, those waters are merciful. Peter says they saved Noah, believing Noah and his family. If you're outside the ark, the very same water is God's act of wrath. As St. Moses records in our Old Testament reading, God saw that the thoughts of men's hearts were only evil continually. They were beyond the Spirit's work to bring them to repentance. Only evil is the content of their hearts. And Peter says, baptism, which corresponds to this very real saving flood, baptism now saves you. That phrase only makes sense if you understand baptism as God for you, not you for God. If it were you for God, then saying baptism now saves you would undermine justification by grace alone. More on that in a second. In Romans 6, which we'll hear in a couple weeks in the catechism, Paul says, in baptism, you were buried into Christ's death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. He uses the exact same illustration in his letter to the church in Colossae in chapter 2. Baptism is your burial with Jesus into his death. And baptism is your resurrection from the dead. That's not symbolic language. It's just something that happens outside the realm of your ability to see. St. Paul says baptism is a real death, your real union into the death of Jesus on the cross. And baptism is a real resurrection, your real union into the Lord's triumph over the grave, His own resurrection, and assures your bodily resurrection on the day of your Lord's return. In Galatians 3 and 4, Paul says, in the waters of baptism, you are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus, and all the baptized receive salvation and are made heirs, sons of God. And if a son, then an heir, Paul says. God adopts you. He makes you an heir. He gives you all the treasures of heaven for the sake of Jesus. You heard Matthew 28, where Jesus commands baptism makes you a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And in the last chapter of the gospel, according to St. Mark, Jesus says, all who believe and are baptized will be saved. Baptism and faith go hand in hand, but Jesus clearly promises together is salvation. Neither one, neither the baptism nor the believing, is your work. But baptism is never the real disagreement that Christians have. Disagreement about baptism really grows out of a disagreement about how one is saved. We teased at this earlier. If you believe that in order to be saved, you have to do your part, you have to ask Jesus into your heart, pray the sinner's prayer, give your life over to Jesus, or whatever phrase you use to describe the exact same experience, then you will, of course, believe if salvation is me for God, then so also baptism must be me for God. But if salvation is not your work in the least, then of course it makes sense that God can use the waters of baptism joined with his word of command and promise to be an instrument by which he does exactly what he promises it will do. Forgive your sins, give you the Holy Spirit, join you into the death and resurrection of Jesus, cover you with the righteousness of Jesus, make you an heir of all the treasures of heaven, make you a disciple of Jesus, save you, deliver to you the Holy Spirit. Those are the promises God clearly makes throughout his word, what baptism is and does. Let God's promises ring true, despite appearances. In the Large Catechism, Luther says, though you see a man's hand baptizing, it is clearly the Lord who works. Or you just sang, all that the mortal eye beholds is water as we pour it, before the eye of faith unfolds the power of Jesus' merit. Baptism is clearly, according to the promises God makes over and over again, baptism is clearly God for you. His work to you and for you. But before you start reaching your hand around to pat yourself on the back for having such precise, correct doctrine, the point of having right doctrine is not so that you can feel smug and self-satisfied. The point of right doctrine is Jesus, who is the beating heart of all doctrine. The point of right doctrine is so that you can go to sleep at night without questions about, gosh, if baptism was my work for God to show him how committed I am to this Christian lifestyle, did I really do it? Or have I done some backsliding since then? And then you can keep yourself awake at night wondering whether your decision to be a Christian, to be born again, was truly sincere. The point of right doctrine is to save you from that kind of thinking, to save you from that thinking that ultimately ends in despair and discouragement. The point of right doctrine is to give you comfort and courage. The stories abound of Luther being taunted by the devil, trying to convince Luther that he was beyond God's ability to love or to forgive. And he would shout at the devil, "I am baptized." Such is the confidence you can have before the devil, before the world, before your own sinful flesh, all of whom want to draw you away from the certainty that is your baptismal birthright, a certainty of salvation, knowing you belong to your Lord, who works perfectly and completely, who leaves nothing to chance, but fulfills every promise that he makes in the waters of holy baptism. Baptism is God's work. He has marked you in those waters with the sign of his cross, with the seal of his holy triune name, so that you might have absolute confidence and absolute certainty. That's why the Catechism says, in the morning when you wake up, make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is in the confidence and the courage of your baptism that you can face whatever lies ahead of you every single day. And then the Catechism says, when you go to bed, make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's in the courage and confidence of baptism that you know that every night when you lay your head on the pillow, you belong to your Lord Jesus. That God has made irrevocable promises to you in the waters of holy baptism. As certain as his name is true, he will not break his promises to you. You remain throughout your life long, his dearly beloved baptized child. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.